Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. A very blessed Advent season to you. I got like almost all the way through the first hour without saying that. That's not right. You got to wish people blessed Advent, Advent time. The number here is 888-318-7884. You might want to remember that number if you're thinking about calling, because this does tend to be a popular hour. 888-318-7884. Our guest is Scott Wieman, who you have heard here before on this program and who we always love having back, particularly here at Christmas time. I think we started doing these at Christmas time. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. He's the author of The Seven Sacraments and the 12 Steps.
The 12 Steps and the Sacraments.
Son of a... I knew it didn't come out right when I started it, but I committed and I shouldn't have.
I appreciate that.
Scott Wieman, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here. Great to be here.
And you have a new workbook. It's called The Catholic in Recovery Workbook, A Guide to the 12 Steps from Ave Maria Press. Congratulations.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
So what's the purpose of the workbook? How does that work?
The workbook has been long overdue. It's really a sacramental guide through the 12 steps as people are working a 12-step program, find freedom from a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, maybe related to alcohol, drugs, food, gambling, lust, you name it, the attachment of another person's addiction in the family. The workbook integrates the sacraments and Catholic teaching and scripture and wisdom from the catechism, wisdom from the saints, all within the working of the 12 steps. So it's really a guide, 20 sections, helps people work through the 12 steps. And, you know, I'd also say that it's can be helpful for anyone, not just those with an addiction, but anyone that's looking to enliven their spiritual life or find freedom from any kind of an attachment to things not of God.
The Catholic in Recovery Workbook, A Guide to the 12 Steps. Scott Wieman, our guest, you are welcome to call if you have questions about being Catholic in recovery, how the Catholic Church can help in that recovery, how Catholic in recovery can help, maybe for yourself, maybe for someone else. Your call is welcome here. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. All of this is related, your work, the books that you produce, the growing number of meetings that you have, the online presence that you have. So maybe as we're screening calls here, just give us the kind of outline of what Catholic in Recovery is all about.
Yeah, Catholic in Recovery is a community. Mostly it's a community of men and women who are finding freedom from a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. We recognize that addiction happens in isolation. Addiction tends to produce a great deal of fear, dishonesty, shame around it, and is something that one cannot get out of on their own. You might be able to individually work your way into an addiction, but it's not without God's help that we can get out of that. And so fellowships exist around the world, around the country, that bring people together who have found freedom, who are sharing with others, experience strength and hope, and helping newcomers who are seeking to get started in their recovery journey. So in addition to fellowships in virtual spaces, we have about 30 weekly Zoom meetings that happen on a weekly basis.
Isn't that great? So anywhere in the world, I could join the Zoom meetings.
Yeah, and we get people from every continent nearly that participate in Catholic in Recovery meetings. And people seeking freedom also from the struggles and the challenges of dealing with a loved one's addiction. You know, that's just as common as people who are seeking help for their own addiction challenges. Usually it's the family member that first recognizes their own powerlessness over the addiction and, you know, do everything that they can to try to control or cure the addiction. But when they find that that doesn't work, finding fellowship and connecting with others who, you know, one day at a time, either staying sober yourself or finding freedoms from the grip of the family disease of addiction, you can't do it alone. And oftentimes people first try to do it alone, try to do it in isolation, make a promise to themselves or to God. But when that doesn't work, then they often find that fellowship, a community, can be very helpful. And it's, I should be noted too, an anonymous community. So not just, you know, not just broadcasting because you start joining a recovery group doesn't mean that everyone in your world or life is going to know that you're in recovery.
Right.
But actually the opposite. It should be in a group of anonymous people. One of the beauties of virtual Catholic in Recovery meetings or any kind of recovery meeting that happens in a virtual space is the anonymity that comes with it. You don't have to worry about seeing your neighbor, although I would say people who are concerned about seeing someone that they know in an in-person recovery meeting, I'd ask the question, well, don't you think that they're there for the exact same reason as you are?
Yeah, right.
But also, you know, there's some comforts of being able to participate in a meeting from the comforts of your own home.
888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about healing and recovery from addiction with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. 888-318-7884. So have pastors and parishes welcomed Catholic in Recovery to the parish setting?
Yes. We have, I would say, over the last few months, been starting about one new Catholic in Recovery meeting a week in person.
Wow.
In different parts of the country. Recently started a group in the Diocese of Arlington, in the one in Augusta, Georgia, and San Antonio. A group starting tomorrow in just outside of Fort Wayne, Indiana. A second group in that area. And yes, it's been adapted and supported by parishes, working with dioceses to see how we can help support healing efforts on a diocesan level, which oftentimes then trickles down into the parish or different community settings where we can host groups.
Again, the lines will fill up, and I see they are beginning to. 888-318-7884 if you have the questions about healing and recovery from addiction, whether for yourself or others, or maybe you want to start a group, or maybe you want to share your experience in Catholic in recovery, you're welcome to do that. 888-318-7884. The reason I like that we do this around Christmas time is it seems to me that Christmas time is really painful and hard for some people who are experiencing addiction or trying to stay in recovery from addiction.
Yes. This time of year, I would say beginning with last week, Thanksgiving time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anytime that we're gathering with family or around festivities that have a lot of expectations around food and drink. Or, you know, I would say moments where we put high expectations on what that moment should look like.
Yeah.
Creates this propensity to want to escape in some ways. And so we're, you know, these are somewhat, you know, we're not always used to gathering in large family functions or being around maybe some of the family dysfunction that we are familiar with. And so we oftentimes, people will search for a way out and doing that through some kind of an unhealthy behavior or seeking an unhealthy substance in order to cope. And so there's oftentimes this, you know, this time of year can be a moment of relapse for many, but also can be an opportunity to do something different, to do something new, to show up fully present to your family, to your loved ones, and I would say reclaim really what this season is all about.
But let's say, I mean, just to pick on a particular addiction, say you've been drinking for 10 or 20 years, you may not remember the experience of doing a Christmas party without being heavily under the influence.
Absolutely. And I should, you know, it should be noted, I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict myself. I remember very well my first sober Christmas. And I got sober in October. And I was probably, you know, 2 months sober heading home for the holidays in an environment where every time that I was with family, it was just a reaction. It was my, you know, it was kind of how we gathered festively.
Yeah.
And so it was totally new. It required a new set of principles, a new set of tools. You know, I was making a lot of phone calls to those in my recovery group, the people who I had befriended, who had taken, you know, really supported me throughout that 60 plus days or so leading up to the time that I was traveling home. Making it a priority to get to recovery meetings while traveling as well, which there are recovery meetings everywhere in the world, if not a Catholic in recovery, some kind of 12-step addiction recovery meeting available. And yes, but it takes a new set of almost, you know, the ability to say no. We think that we can say no at any time. You know, the alcoholic or the addict, someone who's addicted to food or lust or whatever it might be, you know, we have this denial system within us that says, well, I can put it down whenever I want. But when push comes to shove, without a new set of spiritual tools that are in our tool belts, it's hard to do so.
Yep. 888-318-7884. Your call is welcome. One of the reasons I really love what you do with Catholic in Recovery is that I do think there's a growing remembering in the church that the ministry of Christ himself and the ministry of the early church was a healing ministry. Mm-hmm. And we have forgotten that how much healing power there is in Christ and in his church.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the early church was started by people witnessing the miracles of Jesus. You know, his disciples saw him work miracles. Even then, still had troubles truly believing. But it was through the miracles, the healing nature of Jesus Christ, that his ministry was founded upon. And I think that in some ways, over the last 2,000 years or so, we've lost that sense. And so really our efforts within Catholic in Recovery is to bring that back to the church so that people are seeking the church for healing. And people do seek the church for healing for a long time, unfortunately. You know, we have delegated those healing efforts to other outside sources,
right?
Which, don't get me wrong, has served me in many ways, continues to save my life. But at the same time, we should be walking with and accompanying people into a relationship with Jesus while also seeking freedom from whatever addictions, compulsions, or unhealthy attachments want to separate us from God, from ourselves, from our loved ones.
I'm going to take the first break, and then we're going to get right to the phones because lots of folks are on the phones ready to ask questions. There's a couple lines open. If you'd like to get in that queue, we'd love to talk with you about the Catholic approach to healing and recovery with Scott Wieman, our guest, as he said, in recovery himself and the founder of Catholic in Recovery, which is growing all around the world. You said almost every continent. During the break, I'll find out which continent has not checked in yet.
Okay.
Because we need to get that continent, somebody in Zoom, in the Zoom room on that one. 888-318-7884. Catholic in Recovery, more with Scott Wieman right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at magnificat.com.
He was a scholar, a preacher, a Capuchin Franciscan, and a defender of Christendom.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Lawrence of Brindisi was one of the most respected preachers in the 17th century, but he also helped raise an army against the Ottoman Turks when they invaded Hungary in 1601. He led the troops to victory against the Turks, carrying only a crucifix. He was declared a Doctor of the Church in 1959.
To find out more about the Doctors of the Church, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm quite sincere in saying I'm always so glad when Scott Wieman is here, particularly around the holidays, because we know these times can be tough. I say they can be tough. If you live long enough, you're going to go through a tough holiday season. and maybe you're going to go through decades of tough holiday seasons. And that's perfectly okay. But we often need help. And if we're facing addiction issues, that's going to be the area we need help in. You know, if we got issues with substances or, as Scott said, lust or maybe anger or whatever, we need the help. And Jesus loves us and wants to get us that help. And one of the ways that help is getting to lots of people is through Catholic in Recovery. That's what the ministry that Scott founded. Which I'm so pleased to hear has found support in many places, that bishops and priests and lay people, they want this in the church.
Yeah, I think that people are finding it as a means to evangelization.
Yeah.
You know, there's if we just sit around waiting for people to be, and I know that a lot of people do come to the faith through an intellectual understanding of the church and the church teachings and Jesus, but also people want a real life experience with seeing him work miracles in our lives. And so it's when people are desperate for God and for Jesus Christ that people can be healed and oftentimes come back to the church in that way.
Amen, brother. Here we go to Minnesota. Joseph, starting us off in Minnesota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Joseph, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Yeah, thank you so much. I don't know if this is necessarily in the purview of Scott's expertise, but I'm an individual that has struggled with many attempts at recovery for a decade and a half, and the stumbling block that I've come across is I encountered this first actually when I checked myself in the Hazleton here in Minnesota. Is that when reaching the fourth step, I learned of a cognitive. I used to be able to. I was very fastidious with reading and writing, but I've never been able to write out a fourth step, and it's enough of a discouragement. But I say that I'm just very. I feel very, very thankful that I caught this broadcast. It's amazing how God works, because it's something that it's I feel like I needed to hear. I don't know if there's any Catholics in recovery meetings in my area, but I'm just going back into RCIA as we speak.
Well, praise God, Joseph.
God bless you both.
So did you want some help around the fourth step with Scott? Is that what you're looking for, or do you understand?
Well, I guess just if he had any advice regarding just I've really had frankly I'm apprehensive, I'm pensive of my imminent first confession, because I worry about being able to keep track of things. I'm very absent-minded, if you will.
Okay.
Well,
let's let Scott take a stab at it, Joseph, and then we'll come back to you and see if this does what you need.
Yeah. So thank you, Joseph, for calling. And we do have some groups, some Catholic in recovery groups in Minnesota throughout the Diocese of Winona-Rochester, particularly. Also a group in Little Falls, Minnesota, a little bit north of northern part of the state. I'm not sure exactly where in Minnesota you are, but we do have groups available. And also, if you do not live near a Catholic in recovery group, you can also always participate in a virtual meeting. We have meetings, multiple meetings that happen every day. So we'd love your presence there. Regarding the fourth step, what he's referring to is the step which is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And that is, somewhat vague in its description. But what it really asks us to do is create a list of our resentments, a list of our fears, and any sexual or financial misconduct. Now, not just for the sake of remaining stuck in our resentment and fear, but rather there's kind of a process to it. So first we list out the list of our resentments. What are we resentful towards? Oftentimes, without doing this work, we'll be prone to returning back to the drink. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says that resentments are the number one offender and are sure to bring us back to our old behaviors. And so we make that list, the first column being the list of resentments, and the second column, well, the first being the who, either a person, place, institution, perhaps. The second being the what is the resentment. The third column being how does that affect us? Does that affect our personal security, our relationships, or a variety of things like that? The fourth column, however, is the most important, which is what is our part in the resentment? And so that is where we can really take a look, an objective look, at really kind of making going to that through those list of columns and kind of ending up with what is my part in this? Did I do something to get the ball rolling, or was I dishonest? Was I was something about my behavior or my attitudes fostering the resentment or creating the resentment? And so we don't take other people's inventories, but we take our own inventories.
Yeah,
very important. And
wait, I take other people's inventories. Am I doing that wrong?
Yeah, maybe we look at that.
Okay, we can look at that. All right.
But if you have a challenge with reading or writing, if it's some cognitive challenges, that you're still not immune from being able to work a fourth step, a thorough fourth step. And it's much like a preparation for a general confession. And so the fifth step being then we share with God, ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, basically taking our fourth step and sharing that with another person. Might be our sponsor who's in recovery. It might be a trusted advocate or individual who's also in recovery. Doesn't necessarily have to be your sponsor, although I would suggest finding a sponsor that you can work with, that you can trust to share this information with. And it could also be a priest. That could be, you could do both. You could share a fourth step inventory in your fifth step with your sponsor, and then go to a confession and share it with a priest. Many priests are knowledgeable about the 12 steps, have heard such a confession before. But just, being able to, and it's kind of a lot of writing in that process, where it's a lot of really honest writing, and so it can be challenging just to begin putting pen to paper. But without doing that step, if you just stay stuck in the first three steps but never make it through a fourth step, chances are that you will return to your old behavior or return to old substances as a means to cope. Now, once we get through this step, it also can be very helpful to create a mindset change, a psychic change, which for me, over time, doing a very thorough fourth step, sharing that, doing it again, creates this, it makes it easy for me to, when I catch myself being very resentful, I can kind of almost in my mind make my way through those columns and recognizing, what is my part in this resentment? What can I do to either, heal the relationship or heal at least my experience with it. I can't change another person, of course, but I can change the way that I may have gotten the resentment started or continue to foster the resentment.
Now, Joseph, I wanted to go back to you and see how that struck you. Was that helpful?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I really look forward to investigating, the online meetings. I'm in northern Minnesota, so a little further than where Scott mentioned meetings are. But regarding the I thought I'd throw it out there. In theory, I completely get it, but I do reach a stumbling block when putting pen to paper.
Yeah.
I used to be effortless to write for me. But so it's a unique situation, and it's something that I've yet to find a solution for. But I really appreciate just encountering this program, and appreciate both you gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Joseph. You can find out more at CatholicInRecovery.com. Catholic in Recovery. I got scared.
It's okay.
Because I messed up before. All right.
Just one more thing on that, too, I would say. Tying a bow on it. You don't have to be... You can't be too cognitively impaired to thoroughly work through the 12 steps. You can be too smart to work through the 12 steps. Think that you're too smart to work through the steps.
Right, pride.
Sometimes that can be an impairment, more so than any kind of other cognitive impairments. There are other technology can also help with the process as well. You can find ways to dictate kind of a fourth step with, a phone or on a computer or something along those lines that wouldn't necessarily require writing. Now, there is something that's very healing about, kind of the process is we think about it, that does one thing. We write it down, pick pen to paper, that does another thing. And then we share about it with another person, that's another thing. That's a deeper levels of kind of our recovery and coming to understand God, coming to understand ourselves, and break through our, whatever addictions can have a grip on us.
Joseph, again, thank you for that call. CatholicInRecovery.com. This process of working through those steps the way you describe it, it does seem to me that I know people who are in recovery, have been in some for a long time, some for not as long, and there's just something lovely about them. Like you feel like this person has something special about them. Is it the working through the steps that does seem like that would have such deep spiritual value to do an inventory of the self on that level. And that's just one of the 12 steps.
Yeah. I think that there is a serenity maybe that we'll say that describes people who are in recovery. And that happens by working through the steps, by having a really good understanding of ourselves. Not that self-knowledge is the complete solution, but at least having some self-awareness about our tendencies and behaviors and can be very helpful in order to break through those. If we're just blind to our tendencies and our behaviors, our compulsiveness, we're just going to return back to them and point the finger at everyone else. It's everyone else's fault. It said, it's easier to put on slippers than to carpet the world. It's easier to put on slippers than to carpet the world.
Yeah, right. I don't have to solve everybody's problems. But I am very good at that. I do know that what you're talking about when you talk about doing inventory for somebody else. And I've heard priests talk about, sometimes we spouses will, our confession sounds more like we're confessing for the spouse than for ourselves. When my wife is a horrible shrew and when she does this and when she does that, sometimes I get angry. Well, okay, who are we confessing for here? Mm-hmm. That's the other person, not us.
Yeah.
I do want to stress again, and I'm going to go back to the phones, but there's a new workbook. It's called The Catholic in Recovery Workbook, A Guide to the 12 Steps. You can check that out at AveMariaPress.com, and I'm sure you have information on it at CatholicInRecovery.com.
Yep.
Let's go to Lori in Missouri, listening on the Covenant Radio Network. Lori, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so excited to hear about this. I just recently left a recovery program. It was called Celebrate Recovery. I think it would be considered Protestant, but I didn't even know that there was a Catholic one. I was in for abuse and I became resentful and unforgiving, and I was codependent and enabler, and it helped me so much. And I did the 12-step program and then just kind of a weekly get together, serenity prayer, going through the 12 steps and everything. But anyway, it was really hard, though, because I had to leave because they had some, like, Catholic bashing. And without the sacraments involved in it, it was hard for me to, you know, not include that. And so I'm really excited that this is available, and I'm really interested in maybe getting something in my area if there isn't anything. Because I even thought about, I talked to my associate pastor about getting something like this going, and I'm great to hear that it existed.
Lori, I'm going to let Scott respond, and then we'll come back to you, all right? But I have to take this break. This is a break I can't get out of. I got to do it. So we're so glad that you called. Mm-hmm. Saw Scott nodding his head several times at things you said, so we'll find out his reaction. And maybe he can give you some help on how to get that group started. We're talking about being Catholic in recovery with Scott Wieman. More on that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Whom or what are you praying for?
Let us know tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to more of Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I have the great privilege of sitting next to Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, and apparently I have some work to do. I'm discovering at the breaks. All right, I can. That's fine. Scott, I can be a better person, I'm sure. Lori in Missouri, however, listening on the Covenant Network, was talking about being in recovery, working in some Christian groups that she experienced some anti-Catholic bashing in, so she's excited about the Catholic in Recovery, wants some help on how to maybe get something started in her parish. But go ahead and respond to Lori, and then we'll go back to her.
Yeah, Lori, really appreciate your call, and grateful that you reached out. And, you know, it sounds like you found a lot of healing through Celebrate Recovery, which you mentioned, and there are other Christian or Christian organizations that have supported many, thousands, millions of people through 12-step recovery, through addiction recovery, while integrating biblical principles and overlaying the Beatitudes with the 12 steps and or other things like that. Now, a lot of times people seek Catholic in recovery or a Christian program because they find that secular 12-step recovery groups, there is a bit of Catholic bashing, or they don't like that God is referred to in general terms like a higher power. Now, what I found a 12-step recovery group that helped save my life and continues to help save my life. I wasn't seeking it because of its, you know, perfect moral teaching or theological soundness, but rather I was just desperate to overcome my addiction and my alcoholism.
Right.
And so, you know, people seek a recovery program, a Christian recovery program, to find freedom from that and want to integrate their faith into it, which is why Catholic in Recovery exists. And so, you know, many people have found us by means of participating in a group, a Protestant or a Christian group such as Celebrate Recovery, who has a huge presence around the world. There are, I think, about 30,000 Celebrate Recovery groups around the world, and in a lot of places are the evangelical arm of those local churches, providing healing and really showing Christ renewal. Now, at the same time, sometimes a Catholic in a group like that might feel a little bit isolated or experience that they need to be, their people are trying to convert them, or they find some Catholic bashing. And so they want something that, or they just say, you know, it's great. I love that I can share the word Jesus in a recovery meeting, but there's just something missing, that being like a sacramental understanding of our faith. And so by integrating the sacraments into the 12 steps and providing an outlet where in meetings we share about the reflecting upon the upcoming Sunday's Mass readings or daily Mass readings as a means to launch us into a discussion that keeps us rooted in Christian principles and liturgical themes, people appreciate that. I would say I also sometimes need to be clear that we're, you know, we can't be Catholic basher bashers. We can't be bashing Catholic bashers.
Come on. And hey, so, just a little bit. All right, Scott.
And I get that. But, you know, people just appreciate being able to share about the fullness of their faith, which creates actually a really great deal of honesty and humility when people are sharing in a meeting or sharing in a setting with other Catholics, because they don't have to filter their faith. They don't have to watch what they're saying. They don't have to be careful about referring to some devotions such as a dedication to the rosary or a dedication to saints or things along those lines. You can just share freely about our faith,
well, Scott,
which allows us to share freely about ourselves.
Lori?
If I could just say that was part of the problem is I didn't keep my mouth shut. I was saying I use the rosary and I, you know, and that I get a lot of healing through the Eucharist and really kind of just evangelizing back in a nice way. But the other thing that was disturbing that I just wanted to mention that I found were, and there were some practicing Catholics in the group with me, which was really nice, but there were a lot of fallen away Catholics there. Mm-hmm. And they started going to that church because they came to the recovery group, and because it wasn't there at the Catholic church, they really started going to this church and other churches, because I've gone to different churches. So that was another thing that was a little disappointing was, you know, if
I'll
we could
what,
have it in our own parish, it would be better. You
know? I feel like if I got the healing that I needed in a church, I might go to that church. It doesn't seem like an unreasonable move.
Absolutely, which is exactly why Catholic in Recovery, why the church needs to embrace a recovery healing within the church and have resources available and fellowships available to unite those who have found freedom from addictions with those who are seeking it. And both benefit as a result.
Yeah.
And so, as mentioned, thank you, Lori, for sharing that. I wouldn't say that sharing about the rosary or, you know, sharing about your faith practices is bashing in any way. You know,
no.
I think that it's important that we can be bold and be sharing about those things that are really, really valuable to us. We shouldn't be having to censor our faith practices. While in a recovery meeting, that is a spiritual program. And so it's important, and we lose a lot of people as a result of not having that available. Now, I hear from people, you know, family members particularly, whose loved ones have gone, left the church because they found healing in another Christian or, another Christian organization, and then they started practicing in that denomination. You know, some will say, well, I'd rather lose them from the church than lose their lives. You know, at least they're finding healing and finding some recovery. But, you know, a lot of people who are returning back to the church, either the church of their youth or finding just maybe coming to the church for the first time, can find Catholic in Recovery very helpful as a means of, you know, laying spiritual traditions and principles that they're familiar with through their recovery. And so we serve as a bridge kind of from people who are in the pews seeking recovery, also those who have found recovery and wanting a deeper relationship with their higher power. And all in between as well.
Lori, there are a lot of folks on the line, so I want to keep moving. But Lori did ask about founding a group in her. Just what does she do? Just go to CatholicInRecovery.com and find out about how to found a group?
Yeah, go to CatholicInRecovery.com. There is one of our menu options, I think, is like meetings. You can then choose, you can find an in-person meeting, find a virtual meeting, or start a group. So fill out a form, fill out that form under start a group. Just provide us a little bit of information, and we will contact you and begin the conversation about what it would be like to get a Catholic and recovery group started in your community.
Lori, thank you so much for sharing your experience. Really enriched the program, and I hope that that you are able to start that group. God bless you. I'm going to go to Cindy now in Michigan, listening on Catholic.com, our website. Cindy, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman. Did I go to the wrong line, Cindy? Hang on, Cindy, I didn't get you on the air. Go ahead, Cindy.
Okay, I'm here. Scott, I have your book, but I loaned it to someone. It might answer this question, but since you're on, alcohol has kind of always been a rough part of my marriage. And how can I tell whether my husband has an alcohol addiction, or if I'm just, he says that I'm oversensitive because I've had alcoholics in my family?
That's a good question. How does one tell if a loved one is an alcoholic or an addict of any kind? First, I would suggest that if you're feeling, alcohol or drugs or any other behavior is a strain on a relationship, that's probably a first sign that it's, you know, that it is a bit of a problem. I would trust your instincts. Now, in some ways, you know, people who have grown up in an alcoholic family are an adult child of an alcoholic or dysfunctional family. I wouldn't say is more sensitive to it, but I would say knows the patterns, you know, knows the patterns, and also knows the damage that it can do to a family. And so I wouldn't suggest that you're being overly reactive to that. I would say that you're being sensitive to the dangers of that can come from someone placing a substance before the family or before a marriage. You know, oftentimes we say that alcoholism is a family disease, and that it affects just more than the individual who is engaging in drinking or whatever the addiction might be. And that is certainly true, you know, partly because it affects everybody. You know, when someone is pulled either, you know, away from the family, whether even if not physically away from the family, they're using alcohol or some other substance to escape, certainly it puts a strain on the family. Other people in the family need to adapt, take on the role of the person who's missing. And it has a great deal of effect on a whole family, kids, spouses, loved ones, parents. It affects all of us. And so I would say that if there is a, you know, if it's creating a problem, and you know, we as alcoholics tend to be very good at denial. We will find all ways to rationalize our behavior. Again, pointing the finger at someone else's fault. If someone else would only behave a certain way, then we wouldn't have to resort to this kind of behavior. Now, that is all just rationalizing and denial. The streams of denial within an alcoholic are very, very deep and are very, very strong. Now, unfortunately, though, you can't do anything to convince the person. I mean, you can provide feedback on how the behavior personally affects you. I would suggest speaking not in general terms, like you're always doing this or this is always happening, but speak to direct, specific feedback about when you did this, it made me feel this, and rather than just creating generalizations. But you know, being able to provide feedback in any relationship, whether it's related to alcoholism or drug addiction or any kind of an addiction, but just in human relationships, being able to give people feedback about how their behavior affects us, especially in a marriage where things should be intimate, can provide person at least your perspective and point of view. Certainly also, I would suggest that you know, finding support yourself can help to learn how to, because as an addict, as a family member of an addict, there are, we say the three C's. We get family members get obsessed with the three C's, that we cause the alcoholism or the addiction, that we can control it, and that it's our responsibility to cure it. Now, those are not true. Those are myths. Those are lies that we tell ourselves. But in isolation, those lies and those myths grow and grow and can be very dangerous. And so within a group, if you find a group, like we have family and friends, meetings for family and friends impacted by a loved one's addiction, finding resources on how to live a hopeful and joyful life separate of another person's behavior, can then, you know, if you're not trying to control it, that can be very helpful to actually give someone the freedom to find their own recovery. Not that that is the ultimate ends that you're looking for. But rather, you know, you need to take care of yourself. A lot of times, especially during the holidays, self-care can be something that's thrown aside, particularly if someone's living in a home with an alcoholic or with someone who has an addiction. So take care of yourself and, you know, provide specific feedback when it's appropriate.
Okay, Cindy?
Thank you very, very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. We'll be praying for you.
Very much. I appreciate the call. We do have quite a few more people to get to, and I do have to take this break. I'm nervous about taking the break. I don't want to hear any more things that I need to work on. I don't want any more help. We'll take the break. We'll be right back with more. Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery and the author. Are you the author? Is a group book?
Yeah, Catholic in Recovery is the author.
Is the author. The Catholic in Recovery workbook, A Guide to the 12 Steps, out now from Ave Maria Press. We'll take that break. Be right back. Take some more calls for Scott right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, talking with Scott Wieman, who's become quite regular here and for a good reason. We're super supportive of and just delighted to be in any way connected with Catholic in Recovery. It's a wonderful, new, still young, but growing very rapidly ministry in the church. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. They have this new book out, The Catholic in Recovery Workbook, A Guide to the 12 Steps. You can work your way through it if you're working through your own recovery, if you're related to or in other ways engaged with someone who is in recovery, or if you just want to grow spiritually and benefit from all the spiritual insights that have come through the other people's experiences in recovery, this is the book for you, The Catholic in Recovery Workbook. A Guide to the 12 Steps, available from Ave Maria Press. You can get it by going, you can get more information about it or Scott's other book or the meetings or all that stuff. Do you have an app now too?
Not yet.
No, app yet?
At a certain point, although we did just develop a member site, a site that's a platform, a digital platform that corresponds with the workbook, has a lot of resources available, including a community forum where people can share and chat about issues related to addiction recovery, variety of addictions, topics related to our faith in the church. Also has where you can access meeting reflections that relate to Sunday Mass readings or daily Mass readings. Also has a list of our meetings, of course. But we have within that a recovery center. This is called CIR Plus, which is okay. Something that we launched in a correspondence with the workbook. Within CIR Plus, you can work through, there are some different modules related to different topics. Saintly advocates related to recovery.
Yeah,
there's a video series that we have on there that relates to each of the seven sacraments as they relate to addiction recovery. And we have a digital workbook companion. So as you're working through the workbook, you can track your progress through the workbook companion. Each of the 20 sections has a video that relates to the content of each section, where myself and other people share testimony related to how they work through that section of the workbook, which can be really helpful in encouraging people through the workbook and through the work of the 12 steps. Sometimes it can be challenging to know, when to linger on a particular step, when to push forward. Help working through it with a sponsor or a small workbook group can be very helpful. And, then we also have benefits that with partner benefits for people to, take advantage of other discounts on different products and services that can be create a really a wholesome way of living. I've got a promo code for Catholic Answers Live listeners.
Oh, cool. Can we have that?
Yep. So okay. CA Live 25 will get you 25% off of the annual
What's
membership.
CA Live 25. That's better than our promo codes.
So go to
have terrible promo codes here. I don't know why. CA Live 25 at CatholicInRecovery.com.
Yep. And look for CIR Plus. You'll find a lot of information. There's a free version of CIR Plus and a premium version. We are offering Catholic Answer Live listeners 25% off the annual enrollment for CIR Plus, which has a plethora of resources that both relate to the workbook and just provide everything that you need to get your recovery started or to enhance your recovery by integrating the sacraments in our Catholic faith.
How long is the promo code good for?
To the end of the year.
All right. CA Live 25. I feel bad that he's got that because we're going to celebrate our 25th anniversary and we could have used that promo code for our 25th anniversary, but it's already been taken by Scott.
Well, you can use it still.
We can?
Yeah.
We can have it? All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott.
Use it on your thing.
You're so generous. Mike in Mount Vernon, Illinois, listening on 100.9 FM. You are up next. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hi, guys. Hey, I was just curious, is there a list of Catholic recovery centers, because a lot of people end up in recovery and they are kind of moved to a different Christian faith, angle of the Christian faith through these recovery centers. And as you probably know, there's a lot of fraud at certain recovery centers for people.
Yeah.
It's a good question. And a question that I get quite often. And unfortunately, there are not many Catholic treatment centers or places that are really rooted in Catholic tradition that provide long-term treatment. There are two places, I believe, one in Florida, one in Alabama, that is named Chinakolo. And that is a long-term community that individuals live and work within their framework, within their community. And it's a community that started in Italy, has made its way to other countries. There are two in the United States. That's a long-term, almost a three-year program. I can't speak much to that I have not visited, nor can I provide really an otherwise endorsement, although I do know many whose family members have found freedom from participating in their program. Unfortunately, though, other than that, there are some. I can't give a solid endorsement for any particularly. Long term, I do hope that one day we can provide a Catholic in recovery residential treatment program of some kind that is kind of a long term goal of ours, to provide a place where people can come and find treatment, like residential treatment or even outpatient treatment, and have that be really rooted in Catholic spirituality.
That is so exciting to hear that. That's great. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I was just going to say, I guess so. Your workbook's sort of geared for people who've graduated from a treatment program, so they don't necessarily move away from the faith. Is that what your motivation is?
The workbook can be a great starting place for someone who's getting their recovery started and participating in a local 12-step group, or whether that's a secular 12-step group or a Christian 12-step group or a Catholic in recovery group. There's a various points of various thing elements that are needed in our recovery. We need fellowship, we need faith, and we need freedom. And so fellowship we get by participating in group. Oftentimes, someone needs kind of extended fellowship in a residential program. But a lot of times in those residential programs, they're just going to give you maybe a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and tell you to go to a 12-step group and find that as your home, because it's not, you go to a program for 30 days, that doesn't mean that you're cured. That's just the start. I have been to one of these. I've been to programs before. I'm not unfamiliar with inpatient or outpatient treatment, and they work. And when I got sober this time, I was, I just not with the treatment center, but I just surrendered. I knew I needed to find help. I knew, I found where my local 12-step recovery group was, and in that meeting, I found men and women who had found a solution to my problem. I thought that I was the only one, or I thought that I was terminally unique in a lot of ways. And so a man, after that very first meeting, darted across the room, looked me in the eyes, and said, "I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again." And he so far has been right.
Praise now, God for that.
Now that, I would say, you know, he also offered a lot of his time. We worked through the steps, that we worked through the big book and the Bible, and we cross-referenced the two. We were working in we would go to a morning meeting and then afterwards spend a couple of hours at the coffee shop and working what was going on in my life, reading recovery literature, immersing ourselves in a recovery program. It was kind of like this individualized treatment program. But really all you need to find is the eyes of someone that can look at you and say, I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again. Follow me in a lot of ways. And that's similarly to how Jesus heals.
Right.
You know, it's by showing our wounds. When he comes back, you know, after the resurrection, he comes to the apostles who are in the upper room and they're fearful and they're isolated and afraid. And he shows his wounds and he says, peace be with you, or shalom, which implies wholeness and sanity. And that's how, you know, that's exactly how we're called to pass along the message.
Mike, thank you so much. I hope that was helpful to you. I'm going to keep going because I want to try to get everybody who wants to talk to Scott the ability to talk to Scott. So we'll go to Augusta, Georgia. Peter in Augusta, Georgia, listening on 91.1 FM. Peter, go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hey, good evening for y'all. I just have a comment. You know, I called the last time Scott was on because it was really out of a sense of joy. And it is the same this evening. You know, we just started a group here in our area. And the one thing I wanted to share was, you know, really the great enthusiasm we encountered as we went from parish to parish, meeting with clergy and sharing the reality of this apostolate and what it could offer people. I mean, it was almost like dumbfoundedness that they didn't know about it. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to see the support. And, you know, our primary supporter, his name is Father Ingram. He's a tremendous priest. He wants to make this a diocesan thing. And, you know, depending on how we succeed in our area, if we can draw people and grow it, you know, perhaps maybe spread this throughout our diocese in Savannah, take it to the bishop. So I just go forward with it in God's hands. I'm just so thankful for this ministry. That's all I wanted to say. Just lots of joy here.
Praise God, Peter. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Peter, for sharing. And I think that when you called last time, you know, you were talking about or inquiring about what it would be like to get a group started. And this is proof that, you know, reach out, find CatholicInRecovery.com, either find a local meeting or a virtual meeting to participate in yourself, get some experience with what a group is like, see it modeled, and then, you know, go to inquire about starting a new group. You can do that on our website. Maybe you have the blessing of your pastor already. Maybe you don't. You want to find out some more information first, and we can have that conversation about what the process is of getting a Catholic in Recovery group started. Largely, it's just requires someone who's got some recovery experience themselves and can be a source of experience, strength, and hope to share, and then maybe prepare you to have that conversation with a local pastor or spread the word. You know, it's been wonderful, especially, you know, Catholic in Recovery started with one group here in San Diego in 2017, and we've grown tremendously since then, beyond my imagination. I'm so grateful, and it's only through the gift of the Holy Spirit and really the push of the Holy Spirit and God's aid that's been made possible. But Peter is proof that getting a Catholic in Recovery group started in your local community, if there's not one near you or you're interested in getting one started, can happen. It's doesn't require any expert experience except for your own experience, strength, and hope, and that's really a good way to lead.
Peter, it's so exciting to hear that the priests there in Georgia, the bishops in Georgia, were excited themselves to hear about this program.
Well, you know, the priests were, you know, we haven't approached the bishop.
Oh, I see.
And I think we're gonna see how we do here in our local area. You know, our deanery has 5-6 churches, and geographically, our community is right on the border with South Carolina. So on the other side of the river is the Diocese of Charleston. And those parishes, we intentionally sort of created this group here to sort of to incorporate both sides of the river and people can come. And that would really open it up to probably, I think, about anywhere from 8 to 10 parishes in total.
Wonderful.
And, you know, we're small and humble, you know, but where 2 and 3 gather in Christ's name, he is there. And I fully believe that. And
there we
you know,
go.
I heard something before I called tonight, just one quick comment and I'll move on. I caught a portion of a program before you on EWTN Radio, and it was talking about Catholic leadership, and it was talking about how leadership is founded on identity, and identity is founded on mercy, God's mercy, Christ's mercy. And I, you know, that was always a struggle with me. You know, I came into the faith as an adult. I converted. I thought magically it was going to heal me of my addictions. It certainly did not do that. And then I always sort of lived in this, well, how can this be? How can I be loving this faith and be so disordered in my living? And
Peter, we're out of time.
Recovery taught me how to. All right. God bless you. Take
care. Thank you, Peter.
You too, Peter. God bless you. And God bless you, Scott Wieman.
Mm-hmm.
Love your work.
Grateful to be here.
See you tomorrow right here, God willing, Catholic Answers Live.